Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we continue on here in our study and wrap up of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, here about the resurrection, and looking at this resurrection chapter. And this chapter is a wonderful chapter. It's a chapter certainly to be very familiar with. And let's read the article here. And if you don't, is there anybody that needs a page? Article 28, New Hampshire Confession of Faith. We've got September 16th by it. Okay, I think we got a few more. Here you go. All right, anybody else need one? There you go, bud. Anybody else? Anybody else need one? All right. Turn that down a little bit, Nathan, if you would. There's just the slide there. All right, just a little bit. All right. And so the article reads, this article is the title of it is Of the World to Come, Article 28. We believe that the end of the world is approaching. That at the last day, Christ will descend from heaven and raise the dead from the grave to final retribution. That a solemn separation will then take place. That the wicked will be adjudged to endless punishment and the righteous to endless joy. And that this judgment will fix forever the final state of men in heaven or hell on the principles of righteousness. We are on this third part of the article, which reads, At the coming of the Lord, He will raise the dead from the grave to final retribution. Okay, and so we're dealing in this chapter about the resurrection. Those in the church, there are those at the church of Corinth that have doubt about the resurrection. And the church at Thessalonica had some issue about understanding about the coming of the Lord and the resurrection. And there is a resurrection. And we've looked at the first part of this chapter. And we're not going to rehash that. It is there. We will touch on it a little bit tonight, verses 12 through 19. But if Christ is raised from the dead, His people will be raised from the dead. If His people are raised from the dead, then Christ is raised from the dead. If neither one is raised from the dead, neither one will be raised from the dead. And then the gospel is shot. It's done. Okay, so that's a summary of what's been dealt with thus far. The Lord is going to subdue all things, as we saw last time, and then be subject unto, if you will, the Father. Okay, verse number 28 of 1 Corinthians 15, there at the end of that verse, that God may be all in all. Okay, then we come to these verses, and these verses they cause trouble with some, and so we want to deal with these, and not spend a lot of time, but do want to deal with them. And so they say, okay, so this is you know, the subject is the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the Lord's, those that sleep in Christ, those that are the Lord's. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? There are those denominations, or there are those cults, sects, different religious groups that believe that they, these generally all, I think for the most part, believe that baptism has something to do with the salvation of the soul. And so then over the course of time, what happened with Catholicism, Universalism, is that there was a thinking and a doctrine that came about within Catholicism, thinking that one could be baptized for another. And they would claim this scripture as being justification for that. Now understand that the wording of this verse may be a little bit tricky, but we know from the rest of the scriptures that that just is not so. The Bible knows nothing but believer's baptism. And when someone is dead, they cannot be a believer or become a believer. It is only those who repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know of a surety that the Lord has saved them that follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and obedience to Him, and by that we believe the Scriptures bear out, join one of His New Testament Baptist churches. That's the way the churches that the Lord, the church that the Lord started, and His churches that remain unto this day, they are baptized for themselves. You can't be baptized for someone else. I think it's the Mormons, too, that hold to that doctrine, that they believe that they can be baptized for those that have died. If anyone seeks to be baptized for another, living or dead, it won't do them a bit of good. All that happened was you got wet, and that's it, whether you got wet a little bit or a whole lot, okay? So what is this speaking about? Okay, well, the subject is the gospel at the beginning of the chapter, and then he comes into the necessity of the resurrection. If the resurrection is not so, if the resurrection of Christ is so, then his people must raise from the dead. He's the first fruits. He's the beginning of that. And if Christ is not raised, they won't be raised. And if you say that they won't be raised, then you say that Christ is not raised. Okay? What this verse is talking about, else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Okay, let's think about this. We, the sinner that the Spirit of God moves upon and the gospel is revealed to and Christ is revealed unto, we know by the very Scriptures that it tells us that those that are saved by the Lord, by the operation of the Lord, are brought from death, from being dead unto life, right? And we know that from messages even recently on Sunday mornings, we know that yet this old man, this flesh and this mind is what? Dead. It's dead. It's at enmity. My body and my mind still hates God just as much as it ever did. But it's being, by the power of God and the Spirit of God living within, the new man, I pray and pray the Lord's help, that it would be that this old man is being pinned down. He's being subdued by the Lord in the meantime. But again, this old flesh, as we preach Sunday, is not going to be reformed, not going to be revamped, not going to be salvaged in any way. It's going to the grave or it's going to be translated. The Lord's not going to do that. This, as we read and saw what in Romans, that the body of sin must be destroyed. So then, well, what's at hand with baptism? Okay? The burial of a dead person. Jesus died, and he was buried. You and I are, in and of ourselves, dead. But what happened when the Lord visited us and saved us? Were we not raised to new life in Christ? Were we not given life where we were nothing but death before? Okay? So that's what this passage is talking about. It's talking about the same things, the same thing. It's kind of a summary of verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead coming? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found liars, false witnesses, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which includes his resurrection, okay? False witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. That's their opinion. If so be that the dead rise not. Okay, it's disconnected. The Lord and his people. If he raised, we will raise. If they do not raise, then Christ didn't. It's all in all other combinations that are there. For if the dead rise not, verse 16, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yea, ye are yet in your sins. They then also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's how far this thing goes. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So it goes on beyond this life, and the resurrection is unto eternal life of the body, right? The body, the new body, right? Isn't that what's going to happen at the resurrection? We're going to get a new body, body like Christ. And so then... why are we baptizing if the resurrection's not so? Why put them under the water and bring them back up if we're not going to be resurrected And we cast this doubt even upon the resurrection of our Savior, and their doubt cast upon the power of His resurrection. Because see, we're going to find out in coming verses that there's great doubt about how can a resurrection even be? I mean, really? That's what they're saying. You know, they're saying, really? I mean, look at us. We get old, we die. Surely we just live in an ooey-gooey spirit experience. Not to make light of where the saints are now. Brother Mark's been bringing lessons about heaven. They're there and they're real. It's really, really real over on the other side. And there's a lot going on the other side. All right? But this... What it is, there's just doubt, like the Lord Jesus said, mentioned this last time. You don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God, because God's able to do it, okay? Else, what shall we do? What shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this? What's the symbology in this if there's nothing for it to be symbolic about? And he's not talking about being baptized for another, okay? The word for can readily be used, or word substituted, because. Okay? For and because are words that can be substituted in the English language. See, it shows that we're dead to self, sin, and the world. We were dead in and of ourselves, and we're dead to all that and have new life in Christ. That's what it shows. Okay? Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? See, okay, we put them under the water, and then they got to slither out on the side where you can't see it. You see what I'm saying? We would need to hide the raising up part and put them on, give them a scuba tank, plop. Okay, let's go home. It'd be nonsensical. It would be nonsense, wouldn't it? Anybody that's baptized is sure glad to come out of the water, amen? Yeah, and then, you know, some pastors like to hold others under longer, some under longer than others. There's a thing I could tell you about that, but I won't. It's for another time. And else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, or because they are dead, okay? Why are we baptized? Why do we baptize others? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Or because they are dead? Okay, and I don't want to be seeming to change the Scripture, but I don't want to do that. But that's the help and understanding of it. Why baptize if there can't be the symbolic part of raising back up? Everybody knows everybody's going to be buried, all things being equal. But I tell you what, this is the part that matters. You know, I mean, in the context of this passage, sinners need to see that they're sinners and dead in trespasses and sins and have no hope without Christ. That's necessary. That's part of where repentance is. It's, Lord, help me. I'm done. I can't do anything. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I'm filled up and covered up and sinking and drowning and dying dead in my sins. Okay, part of repentance is to know that you are a sinner and you're guilty. But just put them down. What? It shows that they're dead. Well, sin's killing us all. It's nothing. But that, I'll tell you what, that resurrection part. Now there's something. That's the power of the Lord being exhibited. And then he says this, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? The hope of the resurrection is what got him in trouble with the Jews in Jerusalem, wasn't it? And in Acts it tells us that even as they came and they challenged him before Festus and Felix, it's Felix and Agrippa, and the Apostle Paul, you know, he had brought to light about the resurrection. These were some passages that I was looking up that the Lord laid upon my heart right there before service. Let's take a look over here in Acts chapter 17. You remember what happened over here? What is this? This is in Athens, okay? Acts chapter 17. Let's come down to this conveys the attitude at hand. Then certain philosophers, Acts 17, Verse 18, this certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And that thing of the preaching of the resurrection actually got some stirred up. Acts 25, take a look over here. This just conveys the attitude, and this is Paul held at Caesarea by Felix, and then Festus comes into his place. And listen to this in verse number 19 of Acts 25. And had certain questions against him. This is Felix, I believe, talking to Agrippa, and had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. This guy's nuts. This guy is just crazy. I mean, that's he says this fellow that was dead is alive, and that really means something to him. Okay, there's doubt. How has it been over the centuries and the millennia and the decades that there's doubt put upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That many would say that he was just taken off that cross like all other transgressors and thrown over on the ditch there at Golgotha. But not our Lord. He wasn't a man after Adam's race. He is the God-man, and he did raise from the dead. You know what? It's worth it to baptize sinners that come in repentance and faith and declare and want to publicly declare their faith and obedience to Jesus Christ and submit to scriptural baptism. To be a believer, to have it the proper mode, for there to be authority of the Lord's church to do so for the right reason. Those things that make baptism, baptism. It's worth standing in jeopardy every hour. And see, because the Apostle Paul, he had trouble in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or chapter down there towards the end of the, and maybe it's early in the book, chapter 4. He talks about all the things that he went through for the sake of reaching the Gentiles with the gospel. And he would preach everything about their need for obedience and following the Lord in baptism and members being a member of one of his churches. Okay, so why do we baptize? That's what these verses are talking about. Well, because Christ rose from the dead. And we have faith in him and his death, burial, and resurrection for us individually. Otherwise, these that are here in Corinth that doubt, verse 12, there in the middle of the verse, how say some of you there is no resurrection of the dead? If that's the case, why do you insist that repentant sinners that claim salvation, that they've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, why baptize them? And we're commanded full well in the Great Commission to baptize them, aren't we? Isn't that one of the parts? Right? To teach, to baptize the believers, and then teach to observe the all things, right? Matthew 20. I mean, that's straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ before he ascends to heaven. Amen? He said to baptize them. But if you don't believe there's any resurrection of the dead, why baptize them? And so that's the point, I believe, that's being made. Verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing in this attitude that's conveyed in verses 12 and 19, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily to self and to the world. We are to do so too. That's the reason he doesn't look to preserve his own physical life, but obey the Lord and preach the gospel, preach Christ, and baptize those who believe. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's kind of along the line that we saw in the book of Romans of the attitude of some. He said, why do I go through all this if there's not a resurrection? You know, why, just speaking as a man, why endure all this that this calling of the Lord and all this trouble and all this hardship and all the beating on this body, this abuse of this physical body, if in this life we only have hope in Christ. They there at Corinth know what he went through. To get down there to the southern part of Greece to preach to them, they knew what he went through. It had happened to him in some of those cities up north in Greece. So if this is it, why am I going through this? I mean, what kind of sense does it make to bring the gospel to you to rescue you if there's nothing beyond this life? If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if he's talking literally or maybe being put in the arena with beasts. I mean, the Romans did that. That was a common entertainment at the Roman circus, was to take people and put them in to the arena with wild animals. I don't know if he's talking about that or he's talking about men that are brute beasts like Jude speaks about men. That could be too. Not all men have faith. Okay? Because at Ephesus there was also great resistance to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't there? Because they were all up in arms about Diana. Remember that? What advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And so he says, live it up, because death is coming. Well, they know full well. I mean, he's saying that tongue in cheek. He's borrowing, I think, from the vernacular of the day, because that was the attitude of the Romans. Live it up. Well, don't we have that attitude today amongst men? Live it up. Our children, our world, the generations of that hand have been taught that they're a bunch of animals, and they live like a bunch of animals. Because they've been sold the bill of goods that this is all there is. And see why we need to tell them the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He says here, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Mingle with the world, you'll sound like the world. Mingle with the world, you'll think like the world. Lord, help us. Watch what kind of media you put in your mind. Watch what kind of media you put in your brain. The things of this world, indeed are food for the old man, not the new. Be careful. I can handle it. I mean, that's what we say. I can handle it. I'm mature enough. Be careful. Be not deceived. Evil communications, media, whether it be friends in their speech or performers in their speech and their doings, evil communications corrupt good manners. Mingle with the world, think like the world. Several verses we could go to. Commune with the world. Who's our communion with? Is it not with Christ? Our communion is with Christ. Our fellow, that word communion, what's that mean? It means fellowship. It means close fellowship. We just observed as a church, State Baptist Church, Sunday afternoon, we observed the Lord's Supper. And made mention about how it is that the Lord's given us an ordinance to remember his death that we take into our bodies. The bread doesn't turn into anything. It's symbolic of the Lord's body. The wine doesn't turn into anything. It's symbolic of the Lord's blood. But we take that into our bodies, because we need Christ more than we need food. John chapter 6. You can read it right there. We need him. And so by observing the Lord's Supper, what is it? It's another ordinance like baptism is. And it shows that we have fully partaken of Christ, doesn't it? We need him, John 6. We need him more than we need our bodies need food. That's how bad the sinner needs Christ. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. This thinking that's at hand here in Corinth about denying the resurrection, be careful with that. Because, you know, this is one of those doctrines that is long-reaching, isn't it? Get this doctrine wrong, it affects a lot of things. And there are some other doctrines that are that way. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Be careful about what you might take up, what you and I might take up. In this church at Corinth, he said, some among you, verse number 12, because you know what? You will bring others with you. And if your doctrine and your thinking and your way is bad, you may deceive others. Awake to righteousness. Sin not. Watch your thinking. Don't think like the world, but think like the Lord thinks and tells us. Says, I speak this to your shame. You know, you should be mature as a church. You got doubt about the resurrection? That's foundational fare. I mean, that's stuff that you get at the beginning. I mean, that's foundational fare. That's what he's saying. I speak this to your shame. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? I've not seen it, so I don't. They're from Missouri, right? Show me. Ha ha. You know, all they can see. We're coming up on Halloween. You know, the world celebrates Halloween, and Halloween. The world's decoration all about Halloween and all that is death, skeletons. Isn't it sad when people wear jewelry of skeletons and shirts of skeletons and jackets of skeletons? I mean, that happens year round. Tattoos of skeletons. Why is there an obsession with death that way? It's a bunch of deception from Satan is what it is. He said, how are the dead raised up? I mean, we know what happens to a body in a sepulcher. Going to raise up like that? Have all that rotted up clothing and garb that was put on and skin falling off their body and eyeballs fall out of their head. See, that there's doubt because they're just thinking like this world. You know, I was thinking about and looking toward and preparing for another study and series of messages about a book in the Scripture. And what we're kind of, Lord willing, if we get to that here sometime soon, we when we doubt the Lord, we dishonor Him. When we doubt the Lord, now Brother Mark made mention about it, Ezekiel chapter 10, possibly, and he's going to touch on that in his lessons on heaven. And so relative to that, I just kind of did some searching about illustrations and what men have drawn and pictures that have been created of some folks' depiction of the throne room of God. That's the way I understand it. That's the way I like to look at it. The heaven. And you know what? All of those, the lion's share of those are always taken God and His men. I know, I'm not saying we could ever represent it in a picture or in any form that would be descriptive of it. Okay, I'm not saying that we could. But man's always taken God and dragging Him down. One of those illustrations had God sitting up there at the top of that, on that throne, looking like an old, withered up, prune-faced old man. And see, when we don't have respect to the power and ability of God, you know, if God says He can raise someone from the dead and give them a body like Christ, tell you what, that just that alone is going to be beyond anything that you and I could ever conceive or perceive in this life. You know what? That's where we need to hold that. Okay, you hear that? Some man will say, how are the dead raised up, verse 35? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that's pretty strong. The apostle comes back to him. So you're a fool. The fool doubts in his heart the power of God, doesn't he? The fool has said in his heart, it tells us in the Old Testament, no God. Thou fool, that which thou sowest, is not quickened except it die. So now he's going to kind of go from the standpoint of a parable kind of approach. And the Lord Jesus said it himself, a seed is not going to bear fruit unless it go into the earth and die. Same thing's going to happen with us. Except it die, and that which thou sowest, verse 37, thou sowest not that body that shall be. You can take an ear of corn and put it in the ground, and I'm sure you'll get corn, but it'd be a waste of seed, wouldn't it? You take an apple and put it in the ground. Well, you could. There would be it, but you don't plant that way. You get the seeds. Our dying, this old body dying and being buried and laid in the ground. The soul is saved, and we're made alive by the Spirit of God within us. And we, when a person dies, their body is buried, and they go on to be with the Lord, as our brothers described in his classes. That planting, even in Romans, that we're planted together with Christ. We're going to rise into something again that will just be mind-blowing to us as we are in these minds right now. Amen? I mean, he says, look at the way things are. Look at the way that it works just with grain. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may a chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, to every seed his own body. God's made corn look like corn, cucumbers like cucumbers, watermelon like watermelon. And if he's done that, he can sure do for us when we are raised from the dead. Amen? Set yourself to develop how cauliflower works. You know, some things that are planted are really complicated. Clarissa planted some garlic, and it took that stuff the fall and the winter and the spring to get the garlic that she harvested. I think that's right. It was all backwards of what you were normally used to. You plant in the spring and harvest in the fall, right? But she planted that in the fall and harvested it in the spring. And God did that. He can take care of the resurrection, can't he?
Yeah. Let us not be foolish. Let us learn from our brethren. He deals with them. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. Just because we're used to these bodies, how babies are born, in a baby's skin, they're so soft, and they... when they're washed up, they smell good, right? Got their hair washed and everything. You know, there's something about them. You see, the Lord's made that. And then things change as we get older and all that. You know, the of course, sin has had an effect on us. See, the Lord designed all that. You know, he can take care of a body that will raise from the dead in. Verse 40, and we'll close. There are also celestial bodies. Oh, okay. You're used to this, and you're thinking about what becomes of a body that's laid in the grave. Let's talk about angels. Let's talk about the elders. 24 of them, right? Let's talk about those beasts that are at the throne of God, maybe part of the throne of God. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about Satan. Satan's been created by the Lord. Those angels that fell with him. Now, those are beings that we know about. And maybe the church at Corinth didn't know that. John was likely alive, maybe, or had, well, he was likely alive when Paul wrote to Corinth. Maybe so. Maybe he'd already written his Revelation. There are also celestial bodies. And then bodies terrestrial. Maybe Brother Mark will help us out with that. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. You know, there's planets and stars. And planets and stars aren't made out of the same squishy stuff that people are made out of. Or angels. Or beings.
or the body that Christ is in? Well, probably shouldn't say it that way, but he is a man, even now, in heaven. There's, as the brother pointed out, about those that appeared on the earth to Abraham. They ate. They walked. They brought down, the Lord there brought down fire from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The point is, and we'll read more, the Lord can handle it. He can handle it. Are you going to be raised to life? Lord willing, we'll pick this up here and try to finish up this chapter next time. He says also about the dead that are going to raise.